This is Back to Your Box Office, episode number 278, for the weekend of December 16th through December 18th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Baxi Producers, and you are listening to Baxi Box Office. Hey, we're still here. We haven't recorded in 4 weeks, so we took a month off. How you doing, Art?
It was a hiatus. It was just a hiatus, you know, schedules conflicting, holidays, lots of busyness, just, you know. But we're back, and we're here, and we're ready to have some fun.
Yes, so our website that we share with the Backseat Producers podcast is backseatproducers.com, where you could send us a voicemail by calling 618-207-4794. All other contact information is on the website, so please check it out. We'd love to hear from you. And we always love our voicemails from Tad, but we also have a voicemail from William Paul that we'll get to later in the show. So now we have two voicemailers. William was someone that was on Backseat Box Office before me and before Art. And he says he's a former Backseat Producers, but he'll always be a Backseat Producer to us. So anyways, enough of all that. Art, anything you need to say before we talk about the box office last week?
No, let's dive right in and see what we've been missing.
All right. So, for the weekend of December 9th through December 11th, here's your top five. At number one, for the third week in a row, we have Moana at $18.5 million. At number two, we have new release Office Christmas Party at $16.9 million. At number three, we have, let me breathe here, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them at $10.4 million. And then we drop down a little bit to number four, Arrival at $5.6 million. And number five, Doctor Strange in its sixth week of release at $4.5 million. And there's your top five.
Yeah, Moana, how about that? Closing in on $150 million domestic, 3 weeks in number one. We have kept trying to plan to see it, and the movie times just aren't lining up. It's like we go, and it's like, we check the times, and we either have to go now and be to the theater in 10 minutes, or the next show isn't for an hour. And it's like, what is going on? But, yeah, it's doing good. Over $200 million for Doctor Strange. That's good. Almost $200 million for Fantastic Beasts. Movies are doing good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you probably consider these both tent poles. But yeah, I don't know. Fantastic Beasts is making a lot of money, but I don't know. I feel like there would be more from, you know, reopening the Harry Potter can of worms kind of thing.
I think people are slowly seeing whether or not they're going to be really interested. You know, I don't want to jump in with 2 feet and then, you know, just be left hanging. So I don't know.
Because no one really knew or knows what to expect, because, I mean, there's no book series that it's based on.
Well, based loosely on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Right, but they've announced they're doing 5 movies.
I know. But, so, and a lot of the stuff that's on there is coming out of the fiction that comes out of Pottermore.
Right.
Which has a huge following.
Right.
And not that I follow. I have no idea what's going on over there.
Yeah. But since we've had kind of a layoff, we've already talked about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And we shortly talked about Moana. I wasn't really sure about, you know, the story, but obviously it didn't matter because it's still doing great. Boy, that Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm going to write something down real quick because I just remembered something. All right. So, and share time just got a little longer. Speaking of The Rock. Okay. One movie that I just want to talk about quickly is Office Christmas Party that premiered last weekend. You know, I love me some TJ Miller. I'm disappointed it's not doing better, but I don't know. They might have had a bad concept from the start. I mean, it does, the trailer looked funny, and I don't know, it looks like a good cast between Mr. Miller, Mr. Bateman, and Mrs. Aniston, but there's kind of been a string of our comedies that have done well, so this is a little disappointing. Maybe this isn't a December movie. Well, you can't do a Christmas party in that December.
Where are you going with that?
Sorry about it. Maybe we need to do office Easter party. No, I don't know what I'm saying here. All right. So still shaking the rust off here, guys. All right. So
party.
So let's they could do like office bounce house party. No, I don't know. That might not be R anymore. Anyways, so that is a look at last week's box office. So now let's transition over to what's coming out this weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about a little movie that's coming out this weekend?
There isn't anything really worth watching coming out. Oh, right. No, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. It is rated only 83% fresh on the tomato meter. That is out of 143 reviews, 119 fresh, 24 rotten. Those people are just being contrarian, and screw them. 99% want to see it out of 36,000 user ratings. From Lucasfilms comes the first of the Star Wars standalone film, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, an all-new epic adventure. In a time of conflict, a group of unlikely heroes band together on a mission to steal the plans to the Death Star, the Empire's ultimate weapon of destruction. This key event in the Star Wars timeline brings together ordinary people who choose to do extraordinary things, and in doing so, become part of something greater than themselves. Rated PG-13 for extended sequences of sci-fi violence and action. Genre action and adventure, drama, science fiction, and fantasy. Directed by Gareth Edwards. Written by Chris White and Tony Gilroy. Runtime 133 minutes. We have Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Ben Mendelsohn, Donnie Yen, Mads Mikkelsen, Alan Tudyk, Forrest Whitaker, Jiang Wen, and Riz Ahmed.
You think there'd be more? The cast list would be a little longer in this one, but I guess
you would think that maybe people were busy and they didn't have time to be typing up more,
Well, it might be on the down low though, so we'll see.
Oh, there's probably a lot of stuff that they're trying to keep under wraps. We'll see what happens.
All right, full disclosure: when are you going to see it?
Friday. I have the best brother-in-law in the world, and he actually contacted me through Facebook and said I have tickets to see the show on Friday. He said, "Are you interested?" And I was like, "Yes." So it doesn't get any better than that. I didn't have to arrange anything. And I'm very excited. So I'll be seeing it Friday, 9, 3D show. I don't even know what theater. I don't care.
It's on a need-to-know basis.
Right. He is ex-military.
Okay, well, all right. Well, I will be going to see it Thursday night, 10 p.m. It's another private screening with the comic store. So very, very excited. I have lower expectations than I did for episode 7. But so far the reviews, 83% is a little surprising. But we're kind of getting the same, I guess, I don't know if you want to say distribution that we did for episode 7.
Yeah.
I mean, because there was a big segment, because you're looking at 17% of the reviewers are saying, no, this is not good kind of thing. I'm just discounting those people as hipsters.
Yeah, hipsters, pessimists, people who are never going to be happy because it isn't what they want to see. There are any number of reasons why. Or maybe they honestly, have seen a screener and they really don't like it. I don't know. I'm not going to judge much. I have a very low bar for enjoyment. I will take it and see where it goes and probably enjoy it thoroughly because it's just who I am and I love Star Wars and you don't have to do much to make me happy.
Is it going to be a big deal when there's no opening crawl?
I don't know that I wouldn't even have noticed if you hadn't mentioned it.
Okay. Is it a big deal? Are you going to notice that this is the first Star Wars without John Williams as the composer of the music?
I don't know. You should have saved these questions till after I saw it.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there because there was somewhere, because I guess the original composer that they were going to have to do it backed out, and so they got Giacchino to do it, and he had a month to do all the music. But I, you know, other than William, I love his soundtracks. He did the Star Trek reboot soundtrack. He did Up, Incredibles. So I'm interested. You know, he's probably gonna, to borrow a golf term, you know, lay up and not do anything too revolutionary because he's got a month.
Right.
And you just basically do a fan soundtrack to Mr. Williams. Because I have a feeling he's going to be back for the next one or for episode 8. So, but anyways, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see the new ships.
Do you know if he was just busy? Was he doing something else?
I think he had health problems.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't anything too major. It was just that he needed to take a break from production schedules.
Okay.
And so they all, you know, they kind of decided that, you know, set this one out. I mean, the guy is in his 80s.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't begrudge him anything. I was just curious if there's another project out there that I should be looking for the music at.
I don't think that there's gonna be much that he'd rather do than this.
Right.
You know. All right. Anything else you want to say? Any reviews that are sticking out?
No. I really haven't been. Like, since the initial rush of the first, like, two or three trailers, I just haven't been looking at it that much.
Well, me neither.
Yeah. I hadn't heard anything about the crawl. I hadn't even heard that Williams wasn't doing it. I'm just trying to go into it. You know, I've got the few images I've seen from the few trailers, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, it's, I've started doing this with the Marvel movies. After that second trailer comes out, I don't want to see anything. And I'm sure that there's been 10 different TV spots.
Right.
There's no guarantee any of that's going to be in the movie. You know, the way they cut things nowadays.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
So anyways. All right. So now that we have repeated myself, we can get over to share time. So this is the part of the show that Art and myself talk about what TV, what movies, sometimes what games, because, you know, Art and I are both not so much video games, a board games kind of thing, or podcasts. This is a part of the show where we also play voicemails. And since we have two voicemails, we're going to play both of those right now. So first off, we have one from William, who is going to tell us about the TV he's been watching. So, William, let her rip.
Hey there, Jeff, Art. This here is William Paul. I guess former backseat producer. I don't know if I qualify for emeritus status with that or whatnot. But, you know, I got back into listening to Backseat Box Office, and you guys are doing a fantastic job, of course. But I got thinking that, you know, Tad should not be the one to have all the fun in sending in a voicemail every week. So I figured, okay, you guys like to talk about share time, what you've been listening, you know, what you've been watching, what you've been listening to, all that sorts of fun stuff. And you know what? I've been thinking about, okay, what have I been watching? And I gotta say that, you know, keeping up on all the CW shows, the Arrowverse, Berlantiverse, however you want to say it, I'm really enjoying those shows. I guess I don't know how much I can go into spoilers here with my voicemail, but a couple things on The Flash that I'm not necessarily the happiest with, but, you know, I guess it's par for the course. I've also been watching new show this season called Pitch. I don't know if either of you have caught this. Basically, it was advertised as the first show endorsed by Major League Baseball. It's the show The show is primarily about the first female pitcher in the major leagues, but I gotta tell you, the quality of the show has nothing to do with sports. In some ways, I can equate this show to the finer points in Scott Sigler's the rookie series. And yeah, it's just, it's firing on all cylinders. It really pulls at the heartstrings at the appropriate times. And of course, it's got Zach Morris. I mean, you know, any kid of the 90s, you gotta appreciate Zach Morris. But let's see, what else have I been watching? You know, really, I don't know if you guys are up on the show The Blind Spot. That's it's in its second season. The quality of the episodes have really gone downhill, but it's still not bad enough that I've stopped watching it. I've really enjoyed the show Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland as the president. Yeah, of course, my wife and I are kicking ourselves that the show on MTV Teen Wolf just premiered this week, and we really don't have any means of being able to access it. But, let's see, I think I've rambled on enough. Conviction and Timeless also shows that I've really enjoyed. Let me know if there's anything you want me to go into greater depth on in my future voicemails. Catch you later next week. Bye.
All right, William, thank you so much for that. Yeah, I'm a little interested in why you guys can't get Teen Wolf. So maybe you can talk about it a little bit in a future voicemail. So thank you for that. And so now we're going to give Tad a go. He's going to tell us about the latest movie that he watched. And when I say latest, I mean, you know, latest 4 weeks ago when we got this voicemail. So go ahead, Tad.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in from the Great Sonoran Desert. Just calling in with what I've been watching. First off, I took my kids, my three daughters, to go see Magical Beasts and Where to Find Them or whatever it's called. I called it the Harry Potter movie at the when we were getting the tickets, and my kids just kind of, "Dad, you're embarrassing us. It's not Harry Potter." I'm like, "Well, you know." Anyway, I knew it was Harry Potter related, but I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. I haven't seen any of the movies, well, at least not all of them. I've watched parts here and there. I read the first book and part of the second and then just decided it wasn't for me. But took my kids to the movie, and I liked it. It was pretty good. I was entertained by it. The special effects were good. The story was pretty good. Just, you know, I liked it. So that's the movie I saw. Also, on the History Channel, the Vikings show is the second half of the fourth season has started up, and I just love that show. I think it's available on Netflix. I'll check, and maybe you guys know for sure. But if anyone has a chance to watch that, I would suggest watching it. You can watch it, you know, especially if you can get the first three seasons, and then anyway. It's a really good show, and I like it. Let's see. And that's about it for now. Guys, keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll have a new show here soon. All right. Bye-bye, guys.
All right, and thank you, Tad. Yeah, I don't know if I'm so much interested in that one. I might have to check out that Vikings, though.
I've heard a lot of good things about Vikings. I know a number of people who have been raving about it, and I've heard really good things. Pitch also sounded really interesting.
Oh, yes.
So I don't. We have finally moved back into having cable. So, you know, we've been doing everything just online, DVDs, you know, streaming here and there.
Cord cutting.
We cut the cord for a long time, and Brittany was like, I want cable back. I'm like, okay, fine, we'll get cable back, you know. So So we have cable back, and so maybe I'll start checking out some of these shows to see what I have, what I can get. And but like I said, Pitch sounds interesting. I've got Vikings. Is that a Discovery Channel one? I'm trying to remember.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe I'll look that up during a short time.
I'm going to track it down because I've heard enough people talk about it at this point that I'm very interested. I've always heard good things. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about it.
One last thing about Rogue One, the director, Gareth Edwards, his previous work, he did the Godzilla that came out in 2014, 74%, and then he had one other credit for directing Monsters. I'm not really familiar with. Monsters made $0.2 million back in 2010.
Okay.
But this is his third movie.
All right.
Well. I think we're going to like it.
Yeah. I think this was the whole point of these in-between films is to take some chances on doing some different things. And you know, Disney has the money to take a chance and say, hey, let's put this out and see what happens. And let's put that guy on it and see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. All right. So I'm going to kick off the very top thing on my list. I have a list that I keep in my phone for my share time. And every time we have a show, I wipe it and I start from scratch. So the very top thing on my list was a shout out to Rob Hall. He commented on Facebook in a conversation where we were talking about backseat box office and backseat producers. And he said he was listening to the show and enjoying it. And I said I was going to give him a shout out. And then we went radio silent for 4 weeks. So a big thanks for listening to the show, enjoying the show. Hopefully he hears this, and just wanted to lead off with that. So I have watched a ton of things. So last time I talked about starting Green Lantern Emerald Knights, and I finished Emerald Knights, and it was totally in the vein like Arkham Knights, the Batman one, and it was just as good. It was more DC animated. Really enjoyed it. Aubrey liked it. She's watched it at least one other time. Her cousin came over and he watched it, and so that was a good one. I went and saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. I didn't have any problems with it. I did not enjoy it to the level of Harry Potter, but I didn't have that same. When I watched the Harry Potter movies, I'd already read some of the Harry Potter books, and so I think I was a lot more invested in it. But I think it told its story well. I think it's the effects were good, the acting was good, the casting were good. I didn't have any problem with anything. It just didn't blow me away. But I would recommend anybody who is into Harry Potter should go and see it. We picked up Finding Dory on DVD, and that has been in super heavy rotation since we got that. I watched it again, thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, happy to have another Pixar movie in the house. But Aubrey has she was literally watching it every day until we pulled it out and hid it for a little while. Went back and finished Doctor Strange. I talked about my Doctor Strangest Interruptus, with it being too much for Aubrey to see. And went back, saw it. It was exactly what I wanted it to be. Trying to remember what all we left unsaid because I hadn't seen the whole movie.
Okay, so what did you think about the ending with Dormammu?
You know what? That was really cool. That was quite entertaining. I like the change in the relationship with him and Wong.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get a longer callback. Located in the same movie where it's not calling back to a previous movie or something like that.
Yeah. No.
That really tickled me.
Yeah. It was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We talked a little bit about the end credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
and some confusion as far as where's Odin.
Mm-hmm.
and why they're looking for Odin, and I thought it was interesting that you postulated that the movie may not fall precisely in the timeline, you know, as in the way they're released. You know, I always just assumed this release order is the order that the movies are kind of happening, but that's not necessarily the case. So it'll be interesting to see.
Now, I remember hearing somewhere that the timeline of the movie is like a year.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, he learns
how to do magic. A lot of time passes.
During the course of the movie.
A lot of time passes. But I'm talking about the end credits where, you know, supposedly Thor and Loki are looking for Odin. I'm like, but the last time we left Thor and Loki, Loki was sitting on the throne in Odin's place because he had killed Odin? Or now I've got to go back and rewatch Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
To try and remember exactly where we left things.
Right.
I need a Marvel refresher at this point. So I bought and watched Star Trek Beyond and thoroughly enjoyed it. I really like the direction they're taking with this. I know I'm probably in the minority of Star Trek fans.
Don't apologize.
I don't apologize
for anything.
I just said I'm in the minority.
I know, but it sounds like you're.
You're backtracking.
Go ahead.
I've been a minority my whole life, so whatever. Okay.
Well, that's not the kind of minority we're talking about. But thanks for playing. Go ahead.
I enjoyed it. It's more of the same, which is fine with me because I enjoyed the first two movies. I probably liked it a little better than Into Darkness, so I liked Star Trek and then Beyond and then Into Darkness as far as how I would rate the three movies. It was good. I would recommend if you like the new Star Trek franchise and you haven't seen Beyond yet, I would say go see it. I saw The Secret Life of Pets, because we discovered there is a, it's like $1.50 theater 20 minutes from the house. It's just 20 minutes in a direction we almost never go.
Okay.
So it's a very nice theater. And, so Secret Life of Pets was up and, it was good. It wasn't Zootopia. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't even Storks. I thoroughly enjoyed Storks more than I enjoyed The Secret Life, but it wasn't bad. It was a good movie. And let's see. I also saw Kubo and the Two Strings, which I really enjoyed a lot, but that was, it was pretty dark. Not terribly surprising when you look at Coraline and you look at Paranorman, you know, they deal with some dark overtones and some more mature matters, but I thought it was a step beyond those with some of the things it dealt with death and loss and some of the themes. But it was very enjoyable. It is one I will be buying as soon as it comes out on DVD. So we got cable and Aubrey has been digging into what's available on the, on demand. And I found this new show, new to me, and it's called Game Shakers. And the premise is a bunch of, they seem like maybe junior high age kids, have started this company where they're developing like video games, you know, like app-based stuff and little games of that nature. Stuff that's, you know, not super sophisticated, but, you know, in that small game market. Because one of the characters involved, his dad is like a super famous musical artist, sort of comes off as a cross between like Will Smith and Kanye West.
Okay.
You know, hip, cool, but also very kind of crazy, over the top. And I have found it strangely entertaining, like laugh out loud entertaining. With some of the themes that they're tackling, some of the things they're doing, and some of the jokes that they pull off that I think are very much aimed at adults who are stuck in the room watching shows with their kids. Mm-hmm. There's this episode where there's two boys and two girls at the company, and the girls get this invitation to come to this Girls of Power Awards ceremony. And, you know, because they've got the startup business and it's trying to encourage, you know, girls, to be part of that, you know, coming up in the business world, doing things, you know, empowering women, you know, empowering girls to grow up to be, you know, future women who are empowered. You know, it's a great, you know, kind of thing they're pushing there working at a game company, so he was doing programming and coding, and, you know, it falls back into that pushing STEM, you know, for girls, which I'm totally behind and encourage, mm-hmm. you know, with Aubrey. And so then they're going to this award, and they get there, and it's just in this hotel room, and there's all these girls in there. There's these two nerdy guys. They've totally orchestrated this whole thing to get cute girls to come to them.
Oh my god.
And I lose my mind because it's hilarious. And the girls, you know, they figure it out, and that whole storyline keeps moving forward. Well, the two boys who got left behind, one of the boys, he's really incensed because he's part of the company too, you know, and the other guy's like, but you're not a girl. He's like, but it's still not fair. He's like, the company, you know, I do my part here at the company. I need to be honored as well. So he talks the other boy into them both dressing up as girls and crashing the awards party. So they're both in drag, and the one boy who's just kind of along for the ride, other boys start making eyes at him. And you see that he totally comes to this realization of the power that women have. And he immediately turns to abusing that power, you know, making eyes back, you know, mm-hmm. leading these boys on. And he's thoroughly enjoying it, but you can see the what's going on in the back. It's brilliantly played. It's well acted for a kid's show, and it just had me in stitches. And I was totally surprised at this called Game Shakers. And I will happily watch as much of this show as Aubrey wants to see. I really can't recommend it enough. And that, like I said, there every episode I was laughing out loud, a literal laugh out loud. And last but not least, there is a show, Elena of Avalor,
mm-hmm.
and it is a Disney show, and it's sort of in the vein of Sophia the First. But it has a total Hispanic theme. It's basically fantasy Mexico, like the mythical kind of stuff that you see in, you know, the Aztec Quetzalcoatl type myth stuff. You know, there are winged flying jaguars and magic is real, and it's basically you know. She's the main character is very Zorro-esque. There's a lot of swashbuckling, but with a lot of fantasy and magic thrown in. And it's a really cool show. And, you know, like I said, the strong Hispanic themes are really cool to see them moving in that direction. So that Disney has added another princess of color, and I approve heartily. And I think that wraps up that very much 4-week extended share time. I will probably remember something else while you were talking. We'll see what happens. But that's everything that I wrote down.
Okay. So I had a much less productive share time.
Well, life
but is- I have three movies to talk about. I have a TV show, and I have some trailers that I want to talk about. And first off, I want to talk about a trailer that I haven't watched. And that's The Mummy. I've talked before about, I don't need to see action star Tom Cruise anymore. But he's in this movie, The Mummy. And I heard this story about that they went back to the drawing board after X-Men Days of Future Past with The Mummy. And the reason they went back is because their concept for The Mummy looked almost exactly like Oscar Isaac in at the end of Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past. Yeah.
Apocalypse. You said Apocalypse. So they went back. Now it's a woman mummy. And speaking of Star Trek Beyond, I believe her name is Sophia Boutella. So the female alien in Star Trek Beyond.
Okay.
Also the assassin with swords for legs from Kingsman. I guess she's playing the mummy. So maybe I might have to check The Mummy when it comes out.
Okay. I never saw Kingsman. I really did enjoy her role in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. She was definitely good in the Kingsman. All right. The other two trailers, and I cannot believe you didn't bring up Spider-Man Homecoming. You see the trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming?
I've seen a couple at this point. Yeah.
Okay.
But I.
What do you think?
I think it looks good. I think it looks looks interesting. It's got some stuff in it. I did see a link. Somebody has taken every trailer that's been every piece of footage that's been released so far and stitched it all together into one trailer.
Yeah.
So I was planning on watching that when we get done tonight.
Yeah. A friend of mine says the best thing he's ever seen in any trailer ever is bank robbers wearing the Avengers masks.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. The other trailer, which normally I wouldn't talk about, but there might be something here because, I'm just going to say it, the Baywatch trailer. Now, normally this was kind of more of an exploitation show when it was on television. But they're going to have the Rock is going to be playing the David Hasselhoff character. But it's directed by the guy who did Horrible Bosses. And it looks more of a comedy than, you know, an action police drama type thing. So I might give this a chance. And part of the reason I'll give this a chance, because one of the first movies that I watched was San Andreas. And I don't know why, because I am so freaking close to that fault. I don't want to know what's going to happen when that sucker pops or breaks. But we have Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We have Alexandria Daddario, who's also in Baywatch. Carla Gugino. And the voice of Scientific Reason is Paul Giamatti in this movie. And yeah, it's basically Twister, with exception of tornadoes, it's earthquakes. And another layer of heartbreaking to me is they absolutely destroy San Francisco. Not the best disaster movie ever created, but I did enjoy some of the locales. They did do a good job of bringing some pretty decent twists in this movie. But I definitely enjoyed it. You know, another good The Rock movie. And it's not one of those movies where he doesn't do anything wrong. And I kind of like that in my action stars nowadays, where they don't crap gold. So I enjoyed San Andreas, but if you live in California, don't watch it. Okay. yeah, and the special effects were pretty good. I must say about that. All right. The next movie is Run All Night. So I'm trying to blow through all of these Liam Neeson action movies. This isn't necessarily, there's a lot of action, but this one is more of an organized crime where he plays an ex-hitman, and Ed Harris is kind of like the mob boss, and they're kind of on the outs. And he's kind of, you know, Liam Neeson, a little alcoholic, struggling a little bit. And then there is a compromising situation between both their sons. And so Ed Harris said, you know, has to put a hit out on Liam Neeson and his son. And his son is played by Joel Kinnaman, who, you know, does okay. He was I just forgot the guy's name in, Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Kind of that. Yeah, it was a good action flick. You know, this director, the same director who did Nonstop, where Liam Neeson was on a plane, I think I talked about earlier. There's just a couple things in there that they kind of are able to do something. Okay, they're able to evade probably about 50 cops like it's nothing. There's an apartment building on lockdown. They're the only ones that know that there's this connecting building, and they just walk out of the building without the cops knowing where they are.
Yeah.
So that kind of took me out of it a little bit. So, you know, it's okay. It's probably a rental. All right. The last movie, and I think this is the movie that I probably enjoyed the most because I'm making my wife watch it. This is Begin Again. Now, Begin Again is a movie that came out in 2013. And the plot summary is: a chance encounter between a disgraced music business executive and a young singer-songwriter new to Manhattan turns into a promising collaboration between the two talents. So this stars Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo.
Oh.
Are the young singer-songwriter and the music business executive. I really liked Ruffalo in this movie.
Okay.
He did a really good job in his role. Also has Adam Levine, from, you know, Maroon 5. He does a really good job at playing kind of a D-bag in this movie. Okay. This isn't the greatest story ever told, but it was just a cute movie that I really enjoyed watching all of the people on screen. Also in this movie was James Corden, you know, the guy who does the carpool karaoke.
Nope.
Okay. Should probably go on YouTube sometime. And also Haley Steinfeld has a small part in this. So it's rated R because there's F-bombs up and down this thing, but it's still a good story, and someone that always wanted to be a musician but never that never happened. It's just an interesting story about how they're going to record her album on the streets of New York, and so have, you know, going around and doing that. I just thought it was fun. Also, CeeLo Green. If you watch The Voice, you know who that is. All right. Right.
I was just going to say, is Adam Levine and CeeLo Green, they're both from The Voice.
Right. Right. Well, I wasn't sure if you were a watcher of The Voice or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got this from the library. Yeah, this is really good. And this director, I think the movies that he's made are all kind of, you know, stories based around music and musicians. He has a movie, Sing Street, which I think is based in England or Great Britain somewhere, that I believe is going to get, it has a good chance of getting nominated for an Oscar. So great. And I'm going to check that out now too. All right. Those are the three movies. I am checking out a posthumous TV show that's on my DVR. I'm trying to get through the end of Agent Carter. It's really sad. It's not going to be on anymore. I'm really going to miss Peggy and Jarvis. I'm trying to, and mainly, like I said, I'm just killing things at the bottom of my DVR. And that's where all these things are coming from. And I started Rampart, which is a cop movie. I think the same director as End of Watch, but it has Woody Harrelson as a out of control LA cop. I almost thought this was like S.H.I.E.L.D. the movie, but it's a little bit different.
Wasn't there a TV show from the 70s called Rampart? I wonder if it has any roots in that. It's like a reboot, sort of like, you know, Starsky and Hutch or...
Well, if you put in Rampart in IMDb, the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series says AKA Rampart. Other than that, I don't see
anything
else. This Rampart was 2011, and it's not the same director to End of Watch, so I misspoke about that. But Woody Harrelson, John Bernthal, Ben Foster, Anne Heche, Brie Larson. So, anyways, I'll be reporting on that next week. Okay, so that is going to wrap up our share time. And so now, usually the last segment of the show before we wrap this puppy up is news. So let me ask, Art, do you have anything newsy?
I have a couple of interesting things. Well, I have a couple of lists that caught my eye. And the first one being top 10 romantic comedies voted on by people from online dating sites. And this list, there's some real atrocities on this list.
Atrocity is kind of a strong word, but go ahead.
Atrocities. Well, you know how I get when they put these lists on there. So number 10 on the list is The Ugly Truth.
Catherine Heigl and Gerard Butler.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And I remember this movie. This movie was terrible. I mean, terrible. I don't remember anything redeeming about this movie, and because I go and I see a lot of romantic comedies. I like romantic comedies quite a bit.
I don't think it was that bad, but it wasn't anything special.
It made the top 10 list, so that's a problem.
Okay.
My second problem, number nine on the list, they put the Bridget Jones's trilogy. That's just cheating.
So does that mean that's number 9, 8, and 7?
No, that means
just number 9.
Killing me. Well, others are more, but all of them
be honored. Bonafide rom. This is Cinema Blend, isn't it?
It is, and it's gotten worse. Ooh, makes me so angry. I am getting rid of that to make it stop. So anyway, no, that is just number 9. It's all 3 movies. So this is actually a 12 movie list. I still haven't seen the third movie in the Bridget Jones trilogy. I saw the first two, and I never got around to the third one. So I'm interested, and I like Bridget Jones, and I like what is her name? Is it Renee Zellweger? Yeah. So I enjoy her in just about everything she's done, and I like Bridget Jones particularly, and it's not surprising that it's at a trilogy at this point, but putting the trilogy as one listing, that's not good form. The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. I enjoyed that. I thought it was definitely weird, the whole situation, but the resolution at the end, it was enjoyable, but I don't know that it makes top 10. I might have been happier if this was in the 10 spot and something else was up here.
Yeah, I'll borrow something from the from Dice Tower and saying that movie would probably be on the short list, but it wouldn't be enough to crack the top 10 for me.
Right, yeah. No, there.
Yeah.
That's quite a statement right there. Okay, so we get to number 7, we get The Notebook. The Notebook is not a comedy? I don't see that as comedy. And I had a few funny moments, but that is not a romantic comedy.
No, that's you know, bummer material.
That's what,
at least for me.
What kind of material?
Bummer.
Bummer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole.
It's a very strong drama.
Yeah.
It has a strong romantic element, but it is not a comedy by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
So next up on the list at number 6, we have The Holiday. The Holiday is a great romantic comedy and also a great Christmas movie. It's probably in this very narrow margin of romantic comedy holiday movies, probably one of my favorites. I love it. I own it. I will watch it every holiday season. And I'm sure I'll be pulling it out sometime here in the next week or two. But it is an absolute classic. Have you seen The Holiday?
I have not.
I would highly recommend it. Cameron Diaz, Jude Law, Jack Black, and Rose from Titanic.
I know who you're talking about.
Kate something.
Winslet?
Kate Winslet, yes.
Yeah.
I think. I'm sure about the other three.
Yeah.
I forget the fourth. But
I'm pretty sure it's Winslet.
So, but yeah, that's a great movie. I would recommend anybody see that. You've Got Mail, the third in the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan romantic comedy trilogy. Brittany's favorite. I prefer Joe versus the Volcano just because it's more comedic and less romantic. But and then I think Sleepless in Seattle falls in the middle for both of us. And number 4, Breakfast at Tiffany's is another one that I don't think was really a comedy. And does not really belong on this list. And I think when you go into the online dating pool, you're finding people who kind of don't understand what's going on with life. Mm-hmm. But Sleepless in Seattle, higher up on the list. So if Joe versus Volcano is on this list, I am, because I didn't make it to the end of the clicking because it's Cinema Blend and you have to click through everything. And I only made it up to number 3. And so now it's a surprise what's coming up next. And it's decided to be broken, so I think we're going to end there. And wait, no, now it's loading. When Harry Met Sally. Another Meg Ryan is all over this list, but this is Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. An absolute classic, definitely deserving being high up on the... It seems like the higher you get, the more focused, the more true...
Mm-hmm.
And Pretty Woman. I don't know how I feel about that.
I think that's high on a lot of people's lists.
It is. It's a good movie. It's a romantic comedy, definitely.
It does have, for lack of a better term, that watershed moment where he goes to get her at the end.
It does. It really does.
Kind of thing, you know. Whereas there's a lot of people.
Bring
up Officer and Gentleman.
Yeah, and his whole
gear shows up in the uniform.
his whole character arc of changing, you know, from being the cutthroat businessman to somebody who's trying to make a difference and change and not turn into his father. I like that whole arc of the movie. I have some, I can relate in some respects. But yeah, so there you go. A list of great romantic comedies to take and share with your significant other.
Okay. So not to steal Art's thunder, not so much a particular story, but his favorite site, Cinema Blend, tell a story about why they're starting to worry about Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I've been worried ever since I saw Batman versus Superman, but it's just the amount of people. I mean, cause I'm looking at the picture and I see Flash, Superman, Cyborg, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, and then throw in, I guess the villain is Steppenwolf.
Are you familiar with Steppenwolf? I've heard of him.
Okay. Because I think band before villain whenever I hear Steppenwolf.
Yes, no.
That's unfortunate. And then they're talking about there might be a cameo Green Lantern. And there's also supporting characters. We have Volko, who's being played by Willem Dafoe, and Mera, Amber Heard. J.K. Simmons will be playing Commissioner Gordon, and Kirstie Clemons will be playing Iris West. It just seems like that they need to start cutting, you know, not to have so many people in this one. So I don't know what to think. You know, to be honest, I need to take the same attitude that I did when they cast Affleck as Batman. It's just, you know, wait, you know, judge it on the movie and not
wait and see.
Anything else.
Yeah, and it is the Justice League movie, so they are going to be throwing a lot of stuff in there. You know, I understand that. It seems more like they're taking a page out of the X-Men book as opposed to the Avengers book. And, you know, whatever. It's a decision. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Right, Art, what do you got next?
Okay. So Alien Covenant may have added a surprise star. So Franco is rumored to be back in the sci-fi game, being reported he may make an appearance in Ridley Scott's. So they thought they, I can talk. So I'm interested to see where this is going. I'm interested to see where what direction they're going to be moving with the Alien movies. I'd be more interested to see where they were going with more Prometheus, but you know, I just like the more of this universe is being developed, and I like James Franco. I think he's done a lot of interesting things. There's some stuff that kind of has gone off the deep end. What was the end of the world? I always forget the name because there were like four different movies that all came out right around the same time. This is the End.
Are we talking about the one with Franco?
Yeah, what was the one with Franco?
This is the End.
This is the End. Okay. But other than that, I mean, I generally enjoy a lot of the stuff that he does. So it's interesting to hear him being added to doing this after Planet of the Apes. I think it's good sci-fi follow-up,
mm-hmm.
building up whatever he's doing in that realm.
Hmm. All right. My last news story is how about that Disney? It looks like they're going to set a yearly box office record. Now, this article is dated November 2nd, so this is over a month old, so they don't count so far the numbers from Moana or what they've gotten so far domestically and or internationally with Doctor Strange. But so far they've earned $5.85 billion in global ticket sales through November 1st.
Wow.
Their previous record was $5.84 billion in 2015, so last year. And we were talking about Moana and Doctor Strange, and we're about to find out about Rogue One. Earlier this year, Disney became the fastest studio to hit $2 billion domestically, $3 billion internationally, and $5 billion globally. But they still don't have the record for annual box office. Annual box office went to Universal last year, $6.89 billion, thanks to Blockbuster's Furious 7 and Jurassic World.
Wow, that is...
Now, consider what they could have had if they made some better choices, like Alice Through the Looking Glass earned $299.3 million on a budget of $170 million. And The Finest Hours and the BFG weren't great, losing tens of millions of dollars in the process. So, and you need to remember that back in you know, since Bob Iger, the head of Disney, since taking the reins in 2005, he plunked down $7.4 billion to buy Pixar, and then $4 billion for Lucasfilm and $4 billion for Marvel. So, that's only $15.4 billion.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're raking in $5 billion a year, you got to recoup that money in 3 years. Yeah, you're fine.
Right. So you're looking at, you know, Pixar, they do maybe, what, two a year?
Two a year.
Two a year, and pretty soon we're probably going to be ramping up to two Star Wars movies a year.
You think so?
I don't know. Probably not, but yeah, we'll see. So there's one there, and then what about Marvel? Marvel's, what, 2.5?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that? So, yeah, it's just the money factory is, or the Sunday line is in full swing, man.
We're killing it.
Yeah. All right. What do you got left?
Last story, the X-Men's New Mutants. When is it finally filming? So Josh Boone, who is, I believe they said, the director? Yes, director. Tweeted, a new X-Men film set up base in Montreal with set construction kicking off next month. So that was December 7th. So they're going to start building their sets. They're going to start filming. And, so I'm interested to see where exactly that's going. They're talking about, Wolfsbane and Cannonball and,
So who do you want to see?
Who do I want to see?
Of the New Mutants.
I would want to see the original team. I mean, for me, when I actually read the New Mutants for a short time, it was Magic and Wolfsbane and Cannonball and Sunspot and Daniel Moonstar. That was the team. I had a buddy who had like the original run. So I read, you know, when they went and actually recruited the members and when, you know, when Cannonball couldn't control his powers at all, all he could do was go in a straight line, literally. Yeah. And that's why he was Cannonball, because all he did was go straight. It doesn't have to be that team. It doesn't have, you know, I'm happy that some of those people will be there. But after what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy, they've got a lot of leeway. You know, because that was not my team at all. You know, so as long as the story is there and the acting's on point and the effects are there, I don't care who's in it really.
Yeah, I mean, I have a pipe dream of Magic.
Yeah,
but I don't think.
Yeah, I loved Magic. I love Sunspot.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I believe that's it.
Yes.
All right. So that is going to end this. Comeback edition of Backseat Box Office. So everyone who is listening and has sent us voicemails, thank you. And we, if you are, keep sending us voicemails, we can't wait to hear them. So again, for more instructions on sending us voicemail, you can go to our website, backseatproducers.com. Other than that, take care of yourself, and we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.